ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Shane Warne rubs the hand on the grass. Takes a very deep breath. I'm sure he'd love a hat-trick. Will this be it? You don't get too many chances. He bowls to Devon Malcolm, who is taken on the pad, and there's a catch at short leg. Is there? It's certainly been claimed, and he's out! Warne, a hat-trick! Warne, a hat-trick. What a sensation. Boone has taken an excellent catch. I thought it was off the pad, but there's contact with the bat. It's shot low and hard towards Boone, who has plucked a sensational catch. And Shane Warne caps off a magic summer with a hat-trick. England 9 for 91.
Oh, what a moment that was. And we are on the cusp of another Ashes series here in Australia. At a national level, it is our biggest sporting rivalry, and it dates back to 1877 and has presented drama, tension, heroic performances, and according to our next guest, at least 50 ridiculous moments. And how do I know that? Because the title of his book is 50 Ridiculous Ashes Moments. Our author and cricket tragic Dan Libke, welcome to Summer Grandstand.
Thank you for having me.
I love that Boonie moment just then, because I can still picture him throwing the ball in there and just standing there like a little block of stone, didn't he?
Yeah, he threw it a long way up, didn't he? He was very excited, and rightly so. It was a great catch.
It was indeed. And then I know Damien Fleming will go on to point out after this when Warney dropped a catch in second slip for Flem's second test hat-trick.
Yeah.
Which didn't go down well.
But cricket is so serious, isn't it? Like, we all have to be quiet and whatnot. Dan, welcome. How did you go about researching this? Was it easy? Were you kind of going, there are so many ridiculous moments that you then narrowed down to 50? Or did you travel far and wide to survey the world and, you know, get the list?
There are a lot of ridiculous moments. My co-author on this book, Alex Bowden, we do a podcast, the Ridiculous Ashes podcast. So we had a few up our sleeves from that, but we created a great big shared spreadsheet and basically just brainstormed as many as we could. We had far more than 50, so we had to start squeezing some together and then deciding what missed out on the cut.
And how did you define ridiculous?
Well, we have a very broad definition of ridiculous. Okay. We accept ridiculously good, such as taking a hat-trick.
Yes.
We accept good. Ridiculously bad, such as, you know, I don't know.
Getting a string of ducks or something.
Something like that. Yeah. And ridiculous, such as, you know, walking out of your crease and being stumped and then complaining about it. So lots of options there.
Is the Bairstow stumping in the 50 most ridiculous moments?
I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say it might get a run, yeah.
Right, okay.
Can you give us, without, yes, spoiling the 50, and we don't have, you know, time to go through the 50, but could you give us one that you particularly love?
I've always had a soft spot for Watto. I love Watto. His giant front pad and his reviews and all that kind of stuff. But my favourite ridiculous moment from Watto wasn't an LBW, wasn't a review. He skied one. He'd made a century already. He skied one in the air, trotted halfway down the pitch because the fielder was coming in to take an easy catch. And then, of course, because it's England, they dropped the catch.
They dropped it, yes.
But Watto was still in the middle of the pitch, so they picked the ball up and threw the stumps down, and he was out, run out anyway. And so classic Watto moment.
Oh, that stings, doesn't it, when that happens?
Now, he already had a century. I think it's okay.
He's done all right. He's done all right. Did they have to be on-field ridiculous moments, or did you include some off-field ridiculous moments?
I think it was mostly on-field. We tried to keep it to the on-field stuff.
Right, so Shane... David Warner punching on with Joe Root in an English bar didn't make it into the book.
It might have got a mention in passing. Like we did try to cover things that surrounded it. So yeah, I think that series and all the crazy things that happened in that series probably got a mention. Why wasn't David Warner there? Well, David Warner wasn't there for a particular reason.
What? How far back do the ridiculous moments in your top 50 go? Is this like centuries ago, or is it more modern?
We tried to keep it to just the last 50 years to keep it under control a little bit, and mostly because we didn't want, you know, the Don would take over half the book if you let him get in there. So we try and always cut the Don out because he's ridiculous by himself with all his, you know, amazing feats. So we'll get rid of him. We'll just make it the last 50 years.
I always look, whenever I see these things come up on my Instagram reels, I get a lot of sport. You won't be surprised to hear. But I'll get lists like the greatest 50 athletes of all time, global,
yeah.
You know. And Don Bradman always sneaks in, but it's always way too low for my liking. Like, he'll come in at number 35 or 44. And I'm like, have you compared the statistics of the number one athlete to the number two athlete? To me, that's the metric of greatness. And he's so far ahead.
Yeah, well, in a previous life, I used to have a degree in statistics, so I know all about this stuff. And he is the very definition of an outlier. Like, you plot everybody else's average, and then he's just off the planet, just messing all the stats up.
It's madness. It's insane. And yet, still, if you survey the English, if you survey some English cricket commentators and say, or often cricket journalists in England. And so do a list of your greatest cricketers ever. Often they will put, you know, W.G. Grace at number one or, you know, Ian Botham or someone at number one ahead of Don Bradman. It's like, you've got to be joking.
Yeah, they're trolling us.
they are indeed. Now, off field, Lillian Marsh putting a bet on the English team. Did that make it?
I'm not sure we actually had that. Well, we probably did, because we definitely covered Botham's heroics in that particular series.
Yes.
So I'm sure in passing we mentioned the fact that, well, what were Lillian Marsh actually doing betting on the opposition there? Probably wouldn't get away with that these days.
I suspect that would not be allowed. No. Now, Sam, if...
might get a smack on the wrist.
You might get a little slap on the wrist.
Dan, just from a formatting, you know, point of view with the book, do you kind of build up to your top one, or do you lead hard with your number one most ridiculous moment and give us the anecdote straight up?
No, we start with number 50. We build the excitement. Yep. Okay. You've got to work your way up and have the last one in the book.
It's a tried and true convention.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, and we don't want to, and we won't ask for number one, because we want people to buy the book. Now, the book is called 50 Most Ridiculous Ashes Moments. And we're talking to Dan Libke, who knows what he's talking about. Dan, how many list-type books have you written about cricket?
I think this is my seventh. So I've done one a year now for quite some time, so yeah.
Right, and we asked the question yesterday on this show, who was the first sports person you ever fell in love with? And for me, as a seven-year-old, it was David Hooks. Who was the first sports person you ever fell in love with?
Fell in love with. Yeah. Well, I was a big fan of a youngish Steve Waugh. I was a fan of him when he was a bowler. I used to love his slower balls. That seemed like such neat trickery. I loved how he'd bowl at the death. And then when he came back as a batter and he was all serious about it, I kind of lost interest in him a little bit. But it's like, when he was a bowler in these limited overs games, I quite liked him there.
Steve Waugh's slower ball got a mention yesterday as well.
It did.
It did indeed. I saw Steve's very grey these days, Steve Waugh.
He is. I saw him as well, yeah.
I saw him earlier on. We're not going to ask you for your top. We've got it on the list here, but I said no, I'm not going to ask you. But what are you looking for?
Number one, Leams? Is that what we could ask him?
No,
would you give us your number one?
We can't ask number one.
No,
but he might give it.
We'll keep it a mystery.
A mystery. What are you looking forward to in this Ashes series? Because there will no doubt be ridiculous moments. Who will they come from?
I think there's a lot of opportunities for ridiculous moments coming in this series. A lot of the England players are very much like Harry Brook, because I think Harry Brook goes out to bat and I'm not sure he thinks about anything. He just likes to hit a ball really hard, and whether that's the right thing to be doing or the wrong thing to be doing, he'll do it. He might get caught in the outfield. He might get 100 off, 50 balls.
But yes.
He's very entertaining. He's prone to doing all kinds of ridiculous things. I like him.
I do love that. There's been a lot of trash talk so far on both sides.
With humour, though, wouldn't you say?
Not from the English. It's just been annoying. flat out annoying.
I detect some humour.
Well,
what do you think, Dan?
Well, I am a bit of a fan of Stuart Broad. I loved him on the field.
Yes.
He used to do all kinds of ridiculous things on the field. He used to scream at robots, say, "Stop moving the robot." Like, he does all kinds of silly things. And now as a commentator, he's just as ridiculous. So it's very entertaining.
Well, let's have a listen to Stuart Broad.
Wouldn't be outlandish in thinking, well, it's actually not an opinion. It's a fact. It's probably the worst Australian team since 2010.
There they go. Can I tell you, the English batting lineup, right, that they're banging on about, all these legends, look up their respective averages in Australia.
Well, not many of them have averages in Australia yet, do they?
Most are below 30. The highest is Joe Root. His average in Australia is 37.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, well, the thing about Stu Broad saying, you know, they're not a particularly good side, they're still number one in the world as far as I'm aware. So it says bad things about everybody else, I think.
I'm just very amped for a 5-0 result in this in this series. Dan Liebke, it has been a pleasure. The book is called 50 Most Ridiculous Ashes Moments. Sam, you know what? It screams Christmas stocking, this
book. It does. It does for people that... Yeah, see the ridiculous side of life. And I love, Dan, that it's like ridiculous good, ridiculous bad, and ridiculous just hilarious and unbelievable.
Yeah.
So available at all good bookstores and some bad ones probably.
Yeah, everywhere.
Well.
And ridiculous ones.
And online and ridiculous bookstores. Dan Liebke, thanks for joining us on Summer Grandstand.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Dan.